All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Heather Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Start the show with an announcement.
There we go.
Something we've never said on this show before.
Not me.
Lance Kane is my best friend. Let's get into that with the lead. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day. Why did I start the show like that? Well, it goes back to, you never know what's going to happen at one of our Greta watch parties. Lance Kane won one of our Free Play for Kids raffle prizes. It was a brand new Warrior covert stick, left-handed.
Limited.
Allergic. And I looked at that and was like, well, a couple games ago at Beer League, my stick shattered in my hands during warm-up. I could use a new twig. So I went up to Lance Kane. I said, Lance, how much you want for that bad boy? And he said, well, I'll just give it to you. And I said, no, we need to negotiate. The whole point of this is to negotiate.
Yeah.
So he's now got himself a Nation snapback whenever I see him next. He got a beer and he got the lead on Monday, which is, if you know how much we're charging advertisers, Lance, you got yourself a smoking deal on that bad boy. We had a great time, met Lance's wife, met a ton of other Nation citizens as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool evening all around.
Was it cool?
I mean, shouldn't say all around. Shouldn't have said all around. We're going to unpack that and more. Welcome into a fresh week of Oilers Nation every day. As always, we are live from the Sports Closet studio. Check them out online at sportscloset.ca. Speaking of the games this weekend, you recognize this name, Dave, Liam? He's in the chat every once in a while.
Yep.
The game I went to on Friday, I just happened to be sitting right next to him.
Oh, really?
What are the odds of that?
When you were way further back than me at the game.
Yeah. Well, I was just keeping an eye on you, making sure you're safe. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show. So shout out to our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. We'll be heading out there right away to do another live show. Maybe another one powered by one of those F-150 Lightnings as well.
Vroom.
Hey, even when the weather's this bad, you can count on a vehicle from Sherwood Ford the Giant to start right up and get you to where you need to go safely. The Nation truck got me here remarkably safely. Yeah. I was worried about the hill of death by our work.
On both sides.
Yeah. Well, getting home, I'm confident actually in my ability to get home. So yeah,
they've shout out City of Edmonton as well for keeping those hills clear too.
Everybody in everyone in the trucks and the plows, you're grinding. You're absolutely grinding, and you're earning your pay. Mm-hmm. The Edmonton Oilers, probably can't say the same.
How many are Yanmark on Saturday earned his paycheck, I think?
Yeah. Holloway, I think, was good.
Yeah, in comparison. Zach Hyman scored twice.
Yeah. Right?
So that was good.
That was nice, yeah. Boy, well, we might be out of positives already.
Yeah, I had a great lead until Tyler went under his negotiations.
Well, let's save that one. Don't tell the people.
Why?
Because if we have to do
it tomorrow, I'm not going to be happy.
But then at least we have it. Let's save it. We're saving it. I'm not letting you talk about it. Also, two Calvin Pickards in the chat. You guys got to sort it out. I think the one with his shoulders showing is the real one. So the other guy, you're gone. We only get one of each player in the chat. So figure that out. But let's get into things over the weekend. The Oilers play twice. The Oilers lose twice. And both times equally frustrating for different reasons. I mean, that game against Minnesota was just so obviously winnable. And I mean, what did you need to go your way? It was 4-2 with an empty netter. So if we're going to include goaltending in this conversation, let's look through that game. Look at that game through the lens of a 3-2 victory. Okay, yeah. If you have your backup goalie going up against one of the better offenses, hey, look who's here. Speaking of not showing up on time.
Just go.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the Oilers in both games.
Ugly. Personified right here.
Jay, we were just about to get into our recap of things over the weekend. Six periods of hockey, pretty much all of them disappointing from an Oilers perspective. We'll start with Minnesota. I know people were jumping at Calvin Pickard. I hate Minnesota.
God, I hate Minnesota.
And the Oilers outshot the hell out of them. Towards the end of that game, they really started to control possession as well. 3-2. I think one of them, Calvin Pickard, definitely wants back. Mm-hmm. But when you go up against one of the better offenses in the NHL as of late, and you have your backup in, you should kind of be expecting you need four goals to win. Like, I look more at that, and I get Gustafson played fine. I just didn't think they pushed him all that hard up until right at the end of the game. But I don't know, man. I feel like hanging that Minnesota game just on Pickard is letting the rest of the team off the hook.
Oh, 100% it is. 100%. That was... when you have your backup in, like it's Calvin Pickard. He's our backup.
Yeah.
So when you have your backup in, you know you got to play in front of him. Like, those are the games you got to, like, just find that other gear. And we're unable to find just our normal gear right now. So we're just in a weird funk. And we were too funky on Friday and way too funky on Saturday.
You look back through this whole month and it just feels like we've watched that Minnesota game five times now since the start of the break.
I've watched it all my life, man. It's the same fucking thing every time we play the Wild.
Cole says you outshoot a team 3-1 and it's the team's fault. I mean, can we dig a little bit into that, outshooting them 3-1? They were terrible. The Oilers were... And I know original Pozar and I were going back and forth on this. I thought the Oilers were bad in the first period of that hockey game.
They were brutal. So bad.
They were brutal.
They can't connect passes. No. There was a shift. And this is what ultimately, when I consider both games together, drives me nuts. There was a shift. And I hate going after him because he's the best hockey player in the world. Where I think it was Fogle on the left side, dumped it in and rimmed it. Connor McDavid stood at the blue line the entire time. Didn't go chase it. Didn't even take so much as a stride towards the puck. Just stood there and Minnesota promptly picked up the dump in. Boom, boom, breakout back the other way. It's just the amount of times the Oilers got the puck. If they did break it out cleanly, they would fumble F it in the neutral zone or whatever. Like, it was just a disaster with the puck on their stick. They have zero ability to manage the puck right now.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And just on McDavid again, I mean, he was -4 on Saturday, on Friday. And then the first goal against Calgary was not on him, but he was there to make a play on it, right?
Could have made a play.
That first goal Minnesota scored, if you go back and watch, McDavid had to puck in the offensive zone with 25 seconds left and just chose to, like, weirdly dump it and then not put in an effort to go and actually get it. And it turns up the ice, and I'm not blaming him, obviously, but it's for the loss. But, like, plays like that, it's like you need to execute. Like, the Oilers should have gone into that first period tied at zeros.
Yep.
But instead, they went down 1-0, and then it just kind of spiraled from there. But I think, for me, Pickard on Saturday, I don't think it was his fault, but us Friday probably want two of those goals back, I would say. Don't you think? Maybe two at least.
Two, one for sure.
I think the first one, like, went right off his glove, the second one, but yeah. I don't know. Skinner tonight.
Yeah, Skinner is getting the start tonight. That maybe ties us into Saturday a little bit, where, okay, you mentioned McDavid right off the jump. they were in that game. It was 4-2. And then Leon Draisaitl takes one of the stupidest penalties I think I've ever seen a player take, especially because he gets in those moods where he goes out there and it's like, oh, he's trying to take one right now because he cross-checked the guy. Cross-checked the guy, got away from it. I think he either whacked him or gave him another shot, got away with it. And then as the guy's going up ice, then he reaches out and jabs him. And it's like, okay, you kind of got your lick in twice and the refs gave it to you. You were very clearly just going to do whatever it takes to get a penalty. And they end up scoring on the power play. It's 5-2. Now the game's out of reach. You're cooked. 4-2, you could probably come back from in the third period. 5-2, that's a big, big ask. So,
well, that's the coming back in the third we have to do too much of these days.
Yeah, and that's fair too. But I think it's fair right now, considering what we watched over the last six periods, to, for probably the first time all season, put a little bit of the blame on 29 and 97. I know it's weird because they have McDavid's got 89 points in 53 games and Drysdale's got 71 and 55 and the goaltending stinks right now and the defense sucks and you're getting no support from the bottom six, but they're not immune to criticism is my point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that first goal on Saturday against Calgary was like kind of set a weird tone, you know, like McDavid, you could see as soon as they scored, he knew it was his fault. And like, yep. Drysdale takes that penalty, like, those two plays eliminated, then you go, there's a right in that game, right? Like,
and then when Minnesota got the empty netter basically right in their face, Connor McDavid whacks the boards with one hand on his stick and lets out some frustration.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's frustrating, but I'm
we're in a funk.
Yeah.
Guys, we're in a funk.
So you're not viewing this team any differently than you were a month ago?
Well, we can fucking shred it apart and be like, fuck, like if we just came out of a 16-game heater, man. So some weird shit's going to happen. And we had a real bad start and there is some, I know that that's recent enough to still feel it and want to just absolutely rip this team apart. But let's see how they play tonight.
Well, that's what we said on
let's
Saturday.
Let's see how they play tonight. But back-to-backs.
Like, but it's still, Calgary.
Like, but you should be up for that game. But they were still flat on Friday. They were flat on Friday, and that spilled into Saturday.
I just think the worrying part is how, like, I get the 16-game streak, the 8-game streak, both great. Don't get me wrong. And that was good. And I think that's the best we can see that team at, of course. But to just fall back so much into what they were at the start of the season, I think is quite alarming. And it's a lot of the same things, like your goaltending's kind of falling back.
But we still have the coach that got him out of that funk.
Yeah, and I think
the funks happen. Like, you guys are going right to full reset mode here. You are.
Jay, they've been bad. They have been bad for now, basically a month.
Vancouver went on a 4-game. Well, but like, look at our record. We got through some stuff.
Yeah.
Vancouver on a 4-game losing streak. It's, and Vancouver's like the hottest team in the NHL, which is so fucking weird to say.
I know. You said, you know, we'll see how they play tonight. Dan Greenspan from NHL.com. He covers the LA Kings. He's going to join us in like 10 minutes on the Star Mechanical guest line. So we'll get into tonight's matchup a little bit more. But Ryan Rashog tweeting today, generally don't put a lot of stock into morning skates, but this was a pretty lifeless one. A lot of meandering about and missed passes. Won't matter if they play well, but notable, this is the morning after.
Something's up. There's obviously then I'm actually worried that there's something deeper that we don't know about that's putting this weird dark cloud over the team at the moment.
There is a layer of like,
and this also is
sick too. There is a bit of a buck going through. I guess it's something to consider.
Everybody's sick right now.
Yeah. Including us. Sick and tired of this crap on the ice.
That's true. And like, it's like, I don't want to give them a free pass for what's happening, but I'm just like, it's a funk. It's a funk.
Yeah.
I regret in hindsight how harsh I was on this team in the first 2 months. They were so bad and it was shockingly bad and it didn't feel real. And then they just like woke up and started playing better. We still need to make some moves.
Mm.
And I'm excited to see now what we do because, you know, it's nice when you go on the little kind of, you know, slide leading into the traded line, kind of forces Uncle Ken maybe to get a little more aggressive, to get some maybe more of the premier pieces, you know?
Maybe.
I'm making a narrative.
Sure.
But
you want to take a peek at today's lines?
No, I want to do that later in the giant question. What we do need to get to right now, oh boy, this is going to be a tough one, but a moment of the game for our friends at Douglas Mattresses. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company that gets your mattress, and it's a high quality one. I can say that. I've been sleeping on my Douglas now for almost 2 full months, and I am loving every minute of it. Head to douglas.ca/OilersNation to get yours today. And how about this? Every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. With that, you get 2 memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, 1 luxurious cotton sheet set, and 1 mattress protector free with any mattress order. All you need to do, head to douglas.ca/OilersNation to get your hands on one. I will give this for the moment of the game. At least they showed some fight against Calgary. There was some nastiness in that one. Connor McDavid was mixing it up. Matthias Janmark dropped the mitts. Corey Perry was getting after Mackenzie Weegar a little bit. They had some nastiness, and that was at least nice to see that they had some fight.
Shows the care, right?
At least after the whistle, they showed they care.
They can't. They're having a tough time playing hockey, but the one thing they can do is mix it up.
The Janmark fight was kind of nuts.
It was amazing.
He beat the wheels off Blake Coleman. And just like, they each got their shots in.
It was a good show.
Janmark got the early lead on that. Coleman popped him a couple times late in the second half of that fight. But I didn't know Janmark had that in him.
Neither did I.
Got the rewarded with a goal after. What a guy.
He did. Matthias Janmark is hot right now. Yeah.
One of our hottest players.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that when we get into the new look lines. Was there anything else positive from this weekend for you guys? Like, I'm itching for Connor McDavid to score a goal. He doesn't have a goal in 9 games now, 21 assists in that span. But
Connor Hattrick is coming soon.
He joked today after morning skate. He was in a bit of a giggly mood, and he said, maybe I'll just stop shooting the puck. He says, I'm just trying to see how many assists I can get, which is hilarious.
Shooting the puck?
Yeah, I mean, when did you start? 97.
A lot of McDavid hate today. Jesus.
I don't know. I'm grumpy.
You guys are broken. We can't be broken yet. We were right to be broken.
I'm not
2 months ago.
I'm not broken. Like, I still believe this team will ultimately be fine. But 2 of those goals over the weekend, if they were anybody else other than McDavid, we all would have roasted them. But it was McDavid's fault in the first goal against Minnesota, and then not all of it was his fault against could they play Saturday Calgary, but like. That last play, like, he had a chance to stick lift, and then a couple of shifts later, he didn't, and he showed the highlight of it on the Sportsnet broadcast. Like,
but you know what the good news is? It's McDavid, and you know he can fix that.
Then he went and had 2 assists.
Just we're in a funk.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
Real funky right now.
There you go. Your moment of the game for our friends at Douglas Matches. Head to douglas.ca/OilersNation. It's loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. They have over 10,000 five-star reviews. You can avoid pushy salesmen with easy online ordering. Get Douglas delivered in a box to your doorstep with free shipping at douglas.ca/.
Look at Tyler teaching him how to Dougie.
Yeah, that's a good tagline. you should run that past him. All right. Everyone in the chat is talking about it. So let's have this conversation before we go to the Star Mechanical guest line. Goaltending. After watching Pickard,
what defense goal? Like it's a lot of things.
Okay, so like I'm coming away from these last couple of games, and whatever, maybe I'm being stubborn. Maybe I don't want to just back off my take from a couple of weeks ago. But I think if you improve the play in front of the goalies, these goalies can be fine. Yeah, I still don't feel this need to go out and get Jake Allen because he's got term and I don't like that. And I mean, outside of that, there's really not another great option on the market. There's not a great rental market out there for goalies, but like, I still don't have a strong urge to see this team go out and give up a second or third round pick for a rental goalie to replace Pickard. Am I wrong in that? Do you guys think we have a goalie problem?
We don't not have a goalie problem, but it's what are you doing if you don't get a goalie? That's like it. Right? Like it's Ken's only going to have so many options and so many players he can be in the marketplace for. Maybe he has to get a goalie because he can only get this piece and this piece. I hope he doesn't. I'm with you.
Like if Pittsburgh called you today, Kyle Dubas rings up Ken Holland and says, third round pick for Alex Nedeljkovic. Do you do that?
Isn't he like $4 million?
Nedeljkovic is cheap. He's on a cheap deal.
Oh, did he deal off now? Yeah. Over Pickard? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I agree with the idea that if the team is just better in front of them, the goaltenders are fine. I just think there's so many layers to this team that still need fixing through the trade market. Like,
but a rockstar goal in the playoffs does help.
Yeah,
100%. Hey, but we have to look at this in a bit of a realistic lens. You're not getting Saros. You're not getting UC Saros. That ship that's not an option that's available to the Oilers. And I don't even think Nashville's open to trading him right now. You're not going to go get Jacob Markstrom So no. Who, there's not
a... I know. There's no rock star goalie available.
Like, we're kind of talking about here, if Detroit want to move on from like James Reimer. Right?
Right. So that's like, again, are we wasting all the cap space on James?
If that's the only option, then move on.
And that's where I'm at with the goaltending.
Get three pieces up front.
You have
real good ones.
You've hitched your wagon to Stuart Skinner. You are married to Stuart Skinner. If you want to spark, call up Ollie. If you want to get just weird and dumb, call up Campbell. But we're not doing this whole like, oh, let's go take a flyer on what? A Calvin Pickard-esque goalie from another organization and being like,
our trade deadline acquisition is Jack Campbell.
Oh, I said it would be dumb and I didn't say I would like it, but son of a gun, maybe.
Mackenzie Blackwood could be an option, especially since we talked today about them wanting Luke, what's his name?
Luke Kunin.
Yeah, that'll help.
That'll help.
But maybe you get, like we talked about the other week, yeah, like kind of 2-for-1. Two players from one team. You know what I mean? Maybe that's kind of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, Skinner maybe.
And Blackwood? I'll make that.
Kapo Kakkonen, but like, come on, man. Are we like, everyone's like, oh, but if Skinner gets hurt, like you're screwed. Okay, you're not getting Fleury. Fleury's not going anywhere. You're not getting Saros. Saros isn't going anywhere.
Can I say, actually, before we get to our guest, I see him there.
Yeah, no, I see
him. There was a kid in front of me at the Wild game. He was a Wild fan. He had a Fleury jersey and he went down to warmups and Fleury gave him a puck. Mm. So that kid was pumped. And then also when...
And then he said, hey, enjoy the third round pick, bucko.
And then when Erickson X scored and he was disallowed, this kid stood up. He must have been like 12. And he's like, all right, everyone, who's with me? And was like looking for high fives and all these Oilers fans.
He seems hilarious.
Yeah, he was a great kid. Everyone, he got it back after the goal got disallowed. Then they scored 4 more. So that was great.
Yeah, that didn't go well. Not great for the Oil. That kid had a good night, though. All right. Edmonton looking to turn the page. We'll keep the goalie conversation going a little bit later. We'll talk some trade stuff as well with our mock trade. But the guest line is brought to you by Star Mechanical, one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They offer 24/7 emergency services. So when there's a dump of, how much snow have we gotten in the last 36 hours?
They said it was going to be 15 to 25 centimeters. It feels like it's 100.
It was halfway at my shins.
I've shoveled 3 times and there's still like this much snow on my driveway.
This is what they get like in Newfoundland. Like those, that's the type of dump we got. This is insane.
A lot of people staying home from work. You know who's not? My neighbor, Red, who works for Star Mechanical. 6 a.m. He's out on the road. Away he goes. That's the kind of quality you get with Star Mechanical. Find out more, starmechanical.ca. Dan Greenspan covers the LA Kings for NHL.com. Dan, appreciate you giving us some time here today. I would imagine you're not dealing with a lot of snow right now.
No, it's slightly raining, which compared to what we got a couple weeks ago is a refreshing change of pace and nothing near what you guys are dealing with at the moment.
No, it sucks, but I forget who one of the
hoping the LA team bus just can't make it.
One of the LA beat or one of the Edmonton beat guys tweeted there, I think it was Speck, who was like, I always get a chuckle when it's the California teams running through Edmonton when there's a terrible snowstorm like this. Like, there's no way they're packed for this. It's freezing outside.
That's not going to help free agents.
No, it's not going to help our free agent case either. Let's talk a little bit about this Kings team, Dan. The coaching change, obviously, I think it took some people by surprise in terms of the timing right around the All-Star break. But since Jim Hiller took over, what have been some differences you've seen from this group?
I'd say the big thing with Jim is that he's a lot more flexible in his lines and pairings compared to Todd. Now, some of that's by necessity. Obviously, he had 2 key injuries this week. Victor Arvidsson gets hurt in the Columbus game. You're basically playing 59 minutes with 11 forwards. Mikey Anderson gets hurt in the loss to Nashville on Thursday. He misses the final 14 minutes. But even without that, we've seen Hiller be a lot willing to just kind of mix things up. If somebody's playing well, you know, a bottom six guy, he'll get them some more minutes. On Thursday, when Blake Lizotte returned, he started the game on the third line on the wing. You know, we know him as a fourth line center, but he started on the wing of the Dubois Byfield line. He was playing well. He gets bumped up to play with the top line with Kempe and Kopitar for a bit. So you'll see some flexibility, which will be interesting, obviously, given, you know, this is Edmonton and you have to deal with McDavid and Draisaitl. So is he willing to keep up that flexibility, especially if those two guys are going well?
One guy who the Kings brought in, or the big guy the Kings brought in over the summer, was Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then quickly became a lightning rod for criticism with that Kings team. What's he been like since the coaching change? Have we seen a different PLD?
He is putting in his work. That's the one thing I give him credit. Even when things haven't gone well, when he started to take that brunt of criticism, I'd say probably around, I don't know, end of November is when the production started to dry up. He's been very available, very hardworking. So you can't question that. He's put in his work. I'd say the one big change has been the decision to pair him with Quinn Byfield, who's been tremendous of late. Obviously had that incredible goal on Tuesday. Those two work really well together. I think it's bringing something out of Dubois.
What does Byfield's next deal look like?
Oh man, he's going to get paid.
That's something that we're kicking around in the press room. I mean, the guy's been incredible. That goal on Tuesday. It's one of those ones where, you know, in real time, as you're watching it unfold, it's special, but it took me two or three replays to really capture the magnitude of just how crazy it is. The guy's 6'5". He skates incredibly well. He's getting a lot more aggressive in terms of his positioning, and it's really helping his goal scoring production. I mean, this is why you draft a guy like that number two overall, and he's really coming into his own this year.
One thing, I guess, that coming into the season was questionable was the goaltending that the Kings were going to get. Talbot fell off a little bit. But now you have David Rittich, who's really turned around his career, is probably fair to say, right? Like, how long do you think this is going to go on for? And if it goes past the deadline, they don't get a goaltender, do you think this is something that they can kind of set up for the future here and be successful?
I think the plan was to kind of punt on goaltending this year, wait till next year when you have some more cap room available, and then try to find a longer term solution. Obviously, Phoenix Copley tore his ACL in practice a couple months ago, necessitating the call-up of Rittich. And he's really been a savior during this last little stretch, kind of like Copley was last year. I don't think they're going to make a trade. I would be very surprised if that's the area they address this year. If they do make a move before the deadline, I think they're going to punt and hope this makeshift tandem works and then address it in the offseason.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's it. Cross your fingers. I mean, hey, if you're the Kings and Oilers and you're like, yeah, we're kind of on, maybe if we're on a collision path for round one again, maybe Rob Blake and Ken Holland just shake hands behind the scenes, like, hey, no goalie trades? Like,
yeah, let's not make it about goaltending.
Yeah, let's just run and gun. Why not? What do you think that Rob Blake could get up to at the deadline? Because, I mean, he's made the coaching change now, and we kind of know when you look back through the NHL, once you get your one coaching change as a GM, if things don't get better, pressure turns to you a little bit. So you think Rob Blake will be aggressive at the deadline, or is this a year where he maybe just sits back and trusts what he's got?
I suspect they stand pat. They're pretty tight against the salary cap. Obviously, the injuries to Arvidsson and Anderson, you stick those guys on LTIR, it opens up some space. But realistically, the only move they can make would be to trade Matt Roy, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. They haven't really gotten anywhere in contract negotiations with him. Obviously, they want to bring him back, a really valuable top four defenseman. But if you can't lock up a deal, you know, it would obviously make sense to get an asset for him. That being said, you know, depending on how long Mikey Anderson's out, the official word's week to week, but, you know, who knows what that means in terms of actual timeline to return. You know, do you really want to go with, you know, a bottom four of Brant Clark, who's a really talented rookie, Andras Englund, Jordan Spence, who's a young guy, and Jacob Muvarara, who's getting called up from Ontario in the AHL to be the seventh defenseman on this trip. You know, if that's a really weak bottom four, or a bottom four with a lot of question marks, let's put it that way. So I don't think Matt Roy's getting traded. And, you know, could they maybe swing a hockey trade with Kaliev for somebody else's disgruntled bottom six winger, maybe, but I don't expect any big moves this trade deadline.
Yeah, I already moved on from their second and third round picks. Dan Greenspan from NHL.com. Appreciate you doing this, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Stay warm.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. It's always the guys in whatever plus 25 Celsius that are telling you to stay warm with a smile on their face. Yeah. But enjoyed catching up with
the one shot they have.
Yeah, they it really is. Appreciated Dan hopping on and giving us some time. And who knows, maybe we'll be having him on in a couple of months when the Oilers inevitably, it seems, take on the LA Kings in the playoffs again.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tonight, it is another meeting between these two teams, and it's a game where Edmonton's looking for a little bit of revenge. You see how these two teams stack up side to side. Let's call this the game notes for our friends at Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. New week begins now over at dailyfaceoff.com or dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Even if you're a winner in the game or a loser in the game, you can be a winner at lunchtime by downloading the Wendy's app. And if you do that, you get 150 bonus rewards points courtesy of our friends at Wendy's. Flash up that head-to-head comp again there, AB. Let me see some of the numbers here. Edmonton scores more than the Kings. That's a given. But guess what? The Kings give up less than the Oilers. This is a very, very predictable board. The Oilers' power play is better. The Kings' PK is better. This is offense versus defense. And the last time these two teams met, it was defense and low event hockey prevailing. There were only 31 shots and 42 five-on-five minutes combined between these two teams in their last 10 or in their last meeting, in their last 10 meetings in the regular season, Connor McDavid has found the back of the net 6 times. That is pretty solid. So here's to hoping Connor McDavid can wake up a little bit here and lead the Oilers to a bounce back win against the LA Kings. It would be nice to get this 4-point game back in their favor after dropping one.
I think if we bounce back and get a win against LA, it's on the back of Connor McDavid.
I think it has to be. He really has to show up in the goal department tonight. His assists have been great, especially for my bank account.
Yeah, you've been absolutely rolling with that bet. It is unbelievable. Remember that when they played their first meeting of the season, it was that 3-2 comeback shootout winner, the fourth win in the 16-game winning streak. And when you look back at that game log, who was all over it? Connor McDavid scores the power play goal, banks it in off Talbot, right? He picks up an assist on a Draisaitl goal to tie the game. And then you go to the shootout. McDavid scores in the shootout as well.
Oh, Derek Ryan got the winner, right?
Derek Ryan got the winner. But remember, Connor McDavid was also very fired up for that game. And he was on the 32 Thoughts podcast right around the All-Star break, whatever it was. And he listed the Kings as the team he enjoys beating the most, right? Like,
yeah, I love it when they beat the Kings. I just hate them. They have so many rats.
I wonder what happens if he says the Minnesota Wild.
When they ask him that?
I wonder what happens if he decides now his new team is the Minnesota Wild.
Maybe. Friedman did have an interesting theory there. Like, so they asked McDavid and Draisaitl, which teams do you like to beat the most? And they said, like, whatever it was, the Kings and Flames, I think, were their two answers, or the Kings and Avs. Or something like that. And Friedman was like, they didn't say Vegas. And his theory was that they maybe didn't say Vegas on purpose because they didn't want to give Vegas that kind of ammunition. That like Vegas really is the answer, but they feel the most threatened by Vegas. So they didn't want to have that added into the mix.
I think maybe another layer to it is you can only enjoy beating a team after you beat them.
That too.
You know, they beat Kings twice now in the playoffs. Flames, obviously. Great to beat them whenever you play. I mean, it doesn't matter playoffs or not, but maybe if they were to beat Vegas last year, would have been the
different answer.
Yeah.
So tonight, it feels empty saying this because I really want to see the team prove it. But like, you should come out highly motivated tonight. You should have came out highly motivated for a BOA on home ice. But now that you've been embarrassed on a Saturday night at home, you're coming off three straight losses because you lost to the Bees in overtime to start the trip. So you're 0-2-1 on the trip. I mean, you could come into this game with your tail tucked between your legs, being like, oh God, we better not mess up again. And if you read anything into Rashog's tweet from morning skate, my concern would be that that's the mindset. That is
concerning.
Very concerning.
Yeah.
I really want to see them come out and McDavid and Draisaitl just have a night, score two power play goals, add a couple of more together, win this game 5-2 and each have 5 points, something crazy like that. Like, I know we need depth scoring, but I'm at the point with this team where like, come on, depth scoring, it's not coming till trade deadline help comes in.
Well,
that's when we can expect depth scoring. For now, 11 days till the deadline, Connor and Leon, do your thing.
Oh man, that's not far away.
It's come really quickly, but also it's rather slowly at the same time. They would have passed by now, right?
No.
Last year?
No.
Nope. Wasn't it 2 weeks back last year?
March 3rd last year, yeah. I think, because they got Ekholm on the 28th.
Oh, well, yeah. So it's coming up. Well, never mind. Carry on with the show. That's all I'm good. Just going to say here.
Yeah, I really want to see the big guns take over here tonight in this hockey game. That's probably one of the bigger things I'll be watching this evening. Let's get to a Sherwood Ford giant question because it ties into that a little bit. Our friends at SherwoodFord.ca. We'll be heading out there right away to do another live show out at the dealership, which are always a lot of fun. Always a great vibe in that dealership. We got new look line combos today. So your giant question is simple. Do you like what Chris Knobloch is doing with the forward group? Jason Gregor tweeting, yes. Draisaitl, McDavid back together again. Zach Hyman on the right side. Top six, Matthias Janmark with Nugent Hopkins and Kane. McLeod with Perry and Fogel. Derek Ryan with Connor Brown and Dylan Holloway. This is a top three and a bottom 12, gentlemen.
Look, I mean, I don't like the lines, but Janmark, if anyone deserved to bump into the top six, it was probably him. And you need Draisaitl and McDavid to get going. And I don't think this is something Knobloch wants to do for long term, but McDavid hasn't scored a goal since Vegas. And whilst Draisaitl's been scoring them decently, they both need to get going at a higher rate. And we know they play well together. And Hyman plays well with them too. And you need to win tonight. You really need a win.
Shows that we need
it's desperate. More
depth.
Yeah.
Like the minute you pair those two up, the bottom nine looks scary.
Spooky, very spooky, Jay.
Funky, some would say.
It stinks. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Last game against Calgary, you want to guess what trio of players spent the most time on ice together total? This just speaks to Knobloch absolutely going to the blender. He has no consistency with his lines.
The three
forwards that played the most time on ice together.
I would just guess McDavid, Draisaitl. Yeah,
you're not even close. It's Kane, McLeod, and Janmark. They played seven minutes together. That was their most common line at 5-on-5 in the last game. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. And McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman played 640 together.
Holloway play.
Dylan Holloway last game at 5v5 played 736. And when he was on the ice, the Oilers outshot the Calgary Flames 7-0. He had a good game. I really like Dylan Holloway.
He's coming.
Play the most with? Was it Ryan and Brown?
Just quickly, I wanted to look. Holloway ended up with 3 shots on net at 5-on-5 and 6 shot attempts at 5-on-5.
Here's the take, good. But I don't even know if his value is high enough. I would put McLeod ahead of Holloway on the trade potential list if you had to give up a roster guy.
Just to make money work? It obviously depends who you get back in any sort of deal like that.
That's a very important caveat.
Because you can't trust Dylan Holloway to be your third line center through a playoff run. So it had to be a deal for a really good 3C. And I don't know. I'm not super interested.
If we had to give youth up.
Yeah. But the problem is, and again, I know it all depends on who's coming back, but I have very little interest in sacrificing from this forward group. It's just, you need more depth and like you need more depth, not upgrades, if that makes sense.
But you need an upgrade to your depth.
But that has to come through pure addition. Like there's just no room, Jay.
Probably have to give up a roster player.
None.
Yes. If we're going for like the ones we want, we have to be prepared to give up just for the money. but B, probably what the trading team is going to ask. We don't know who we're getting. Depends who we're getting, right?
So just my problem is, let's just say, follow this line of thinking a little. Mm-hmm. You want to get Adam Henrique real bad, and you know, you decide to move on.
Okay.
Well, that's a third line center. What other third line centers are really out there?
Go ahead.
So you want to get Adam Henrique real bad, and Anaheim says we want McLeod. So you do it. Here, flash that back up, Aaron, because I just want the visual of it. McLeod's out, Adam Henrique's in to this same lineup. Mm-hmm. You're not better. You still have no depth. Adam Henrique's not magically coming in here and helping you score. Like the
is
way
he an upgrade on McLeod?
Marginally, sure. But again, then you have to consider the marginal upgrade with losing Ryan McLeod for now and down the line.
Then who else is out there that we think we should get? What if Ryan McLeod gets you Tyler Toffoli? If he's available. Like, what if that is like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying we should be out actively shopping Ryan McLeod.
So I know, but
like if there's like two or three additions to make to this forward group, and because we're just going to say we can't do anything with defense, and you can get some of the big guys that we think will be of massive value to this lineup, and it's two to three pieces. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pushing guys back, which gives you depth. And if it took one of our roster players to do it, I'm saying you use McLeod over Holloway.
I think that's right.
I think that's right.
I'm not saying like we have to trade him.
Yeah.
Or but like we might have to get into the league. Like look what we had to do to get Ekholm. But I would do it every time over again. Initially, I was kind of like, whoa, this is crazy. But then it's like, we got Matias Ekholm. That is awesome.
I just think the Oilers can go down a different path to create space for themselves without having to sacrifice like a McLeod.
Fair.
And I think that would be the option. And I think the difference between like what Barry was to McLeod is that McLeod's what, like 23 or something like that. Is he that young?
Yeah.
I guess I have it right in front of me.
He's 24. But he's got value.
So my concern is, I love that I keep doing this GAB. I want to see the lines again. You swap McLeod for a third line center upgrade. Okay. You've upgraded third line center. Your right side is still incredibly weak.
But you don't know, like you're only creating a situation where we swap him for a third line center.
Yeah.
Like that's very singular thinking.
Okay. So
we don't know what else we could have done.
I think something interesting too, doesn't Henrique play on the Ducks first? Yeah. He plays on the first line for the Ducks. So he doesn't even, I know he's a centerman, but that's a very different role from what he's playing if he was to come in and be a 3C.
$2.3 million in deadline cap space for the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. You go to Washington, mm-hmm. get yourself Nick Dowd.
Nice.
You get Anthony Mantha retained down twice. So he's now.
Why are we liking Mantha now all of a sudden?
2.8. He's 1.4. So you're bringing in $2.7 million in cap hits. Yeah. And I know deadline day, it's all calculated, all messy, but whatever. You get the cap hits worked down, give up some extra picks to make it happen, because it's worth giving up extra picks if you then don't have to move out on from someone like Ryan McLeod. And now, what's your team looking like with both Mantha and Nick Dowd? I mean, you're talking about a top line. You could go Nuge, McDavid, Hyman. Then your second line could be Dreisaitl with Kane and Fogle. Then your third line all of a sudden could be Nick Dowd, Corey Perry, Dylan Holloway. And your fourth line is Ryan McLeod, Connor Brown, and Matthias Janmark. Boom. You've added two pieces. All of a sudden it sorts out and there's depth. I just think if you're adding and then also subtracting, you're cutting your face to save your nose or something.
Despite,
I don't know.
Despite your nose.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that.
Cutting your nose to spite your face.
There you go. Yeah, that's the saying I'm looking for. But I just, to me, you can't sacrifice out of this forward group. You need to add to these guys. You need to go into the playoffs with both.
I don't disagree with that thinking, but I'm saying that the market might tell us that we have to.
God, and this is the Oilers forward group.
Are we topping Mantha? Like the Mantha discussion is so inconsistent, gets hurt, massive human, can score.
You only need him for a couple of months.
But like he is so streaky. Like he checks out.
But would he check out as a pending UFA in a Canadian market going on a playoff run?
That's a great question.
I might be willing to take because of the upside.
But to get him cut down twice like that,
third to Washington to get him, fourth to another team to keep the money.
I think that's the appeal for him, is that like the price isn't as high as something like a Gensel.
If it's a third and a fourth,
Gensel's obviously better, but.
Or what if you go to, what if, I mean, who knows what the market for Dowd actually looks like? Who knows if Washington's getting offers for a first round pick at any point here?
I bet you they'll get a first.
For Dowd?
Yeah, I bet you they will.
Let's walk through a hypothetical. No one's biting. No one's giving them a first. Yeah, everyone's offering seconds. Mm-hmm. And you go to them and say, all right, we'll give you the first for Dowd, but you're throwing in Mantha. That's the price.
Yeah. That,
right.
Yeah.
That's a wishful thinking.
But. It's wishful thinking. And you're right. Like if the market is only going second, you go first and you can squeeze out a second kind of scratch ticket asset. That's just good GMing.
Yeah.
Washington thinks they're getting a win. You're getting an extra scratch ticket to add to the depth. That makes sense. But I think these GMs are all smart.
They are. Yeah. There's no idiots, we think.
It's interesting they haven't called up someone like Lane Peterson yet.
Like, why not take a look at him? I agree.
Because in that too, he's like $200,000 less than Derek Ryan. Hmm. So if you're trying to build up cap space for the deadline as well, send down Ryan, for example, then you save a little bit more there too. And it's not like they're playing Derek Ryan. You know, the other day, I don't know what he did against Calgary, but against Minnesota, he was literally playing only on the penalty kill. Like, what is it, 3 minutes on Friday?
Because we needed to score.
But
he scored some. But he does score. Maybe we should put him on more. Just kidding. I didn't say that.
Yeah. Trying to watch the show twice back there,
Aaron? Just checking on the Instagram stream.
Smart man. All right, let's keep moving along here. Service Credit Union mock trade. The trade is fake, but what's real is the money you can win with the Service Big Share Contest. It's back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gets you 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings for a chance to win a cool $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Let's cook something up with the San Jose Sharks here. Everybody's itching for a goalie, so I'll play along. Elliot Friedman saying Edmonton also has interest in Sharks forward Luke Kunin. Luke Kunin has 8 goals and 2 assists in 51 games so far this season. He shoots right. He is a centerman. That would make sense as to why the Oilers would be intrigued, but we've also always kind of considered San Jose as the one team who might be willing to take. Do you have something interesting there? You're just looking at numbers.
I have Luke Kunin. What's his name?
Kunin.
Yeah. Former first round pick.
Yeah. Let's do a little deal here. If San Jose is willing to take back Jack.
Yeah, sounds good.
Campbell first in Broberg or Kunin and Blackwood.
Blackwood is one more year, right?
One more year, 2.3. Your two best trade chips, but you're out of Jack Campbell, but all you get is a backup goalie and Luke Kunin.
You get a backup goalie?
Like, or is he your starter?
Your star, right? Like,
sure, you get a 1B. You get a 1B.
How about you replace Luke Kunin and you get Anthony Duclair?
Dun, dun, dun. They might not do that because they might be able to get a third round pick elsewhere for Duclair.
I don't know. Like, I look at Kunin and he's had some decent years. I guess 8 goals is better than basically every bottom six player outside of McLeod right now for the Oilers. So he'd be an upgrade. The right shot is good. Maybe because you got to add in the fact of
skating.
Like,
that's what I
don't know like a ton about him, but you got to add in the fact of like the deal
he's
a is
massive human, isn't he?
6 foot.
Oh, 6 foot.
So yeah, pretty average, pretty big guy.
He's a little shorter than me, but yeah.
It's kind of two deals, isn't it? Because you have to have the value of moving Campbell and then the value of actually acquiring. Yeah. So maybe it is that.
If you're San Jose, it's like, hey, you know what? We don't need Mackenzie Blackwood. We're in a rebuild. We really want a first round pick. We like Philip Broberg and we need an NHL defenseman. Kunin is worth what, a fourth or a fifth on his own? So let's just do the thing with Edmonton. They're willing to overpay us. The Campbell's deal, let's do it. Doug Waite said first Campbell, third for Blackwood and Duclair. So you add in, oh no, see, but you're not even giving up Broberg there. There's no way.
Yeah, I think that's sweet.
Like, I don't even know, honestly. First, San Jose might say no to that. They might be like, well, that's not even worth us taking on 20 or 15 more million in Jack Campbell's contract.
100%. But if they say yes, you have to consider it because it gets you out of a jam for a long time.
And it really saves you this summer. I will also add, that is a kind of deal you make as much as you might look at that return and go, ooh, that's not great for giving up the first and Broberg. If you're doing that, just say F it and trade next year's first two and go get, because if you've freed up the money, giddy up.
Yeah.
Then you can go to Washington and be like, we don't even need a second retention on Mantha. We'll give you a fourth form or a third form straight up. And then you might as well just go to Calgary and say, our next year's first for Tanev, done, unprotected. We'll take the risk.
How did Tanev look on Saturday, in your opinion?
It was tough to tell because the Flames played so good offensively for long stretches that it was whatever, but I thought he was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was better than Cody Ceci.
I mean, that's the other side of it too. It's almost like how much better was he than Cody Ceci? And the answer was a lot, even though he was just fine.
What's the deal with Logan Couture nowadays?
He's expensive.
But wasn't there a rumor that they would be willing to retain on him?
He's also
injured like all year.
Yeah, he's hurt. I know like Hurdle's done for the year too. He's got 3 more years at $8 million. He's 34. I have no interest in that. Even
get it down to $2 million.
What team's going to keep 3 more years of Logan Couture?
Columbus?
No, there's no way. And then that's not nice. Worth giving up the assets for.
I don't know. Trade McLeod.
Matthew says if we would trade Campbell, then who are you trading Campbell for? I just explained. You got to load up a boatload of futures and hope some team is a sucker enough to take them. Although today on DFO Live, it was a Ducks fan who was like, hey, the Ducks would maybe be interested in taking on Jack Campbell there. And we're not doing anything the next couple of years anyways. And I think that would probably, the only way that would work is if the Ducks finally pull the trigger on
11 million, have to get Gibson out the door.
Like if they have a deal with Jersey and it's like, all right, Jersey's taking Gibson off our hands or like we're doing that deal there. We need an NHL backup for Lucas Dostal because we're going to run him out. Sure. What do you want? You're giving us a first in Broberg. Here's Henrique, unretained at that point and whatever. So I don't know. There's only a couple of teams that I could see. Like Columbus, you just mentioned Columbus with Couture. Like they're only taking them if they find someone to take Merzlikins. Like they're not signing up to be a bad team and have $10 million in cap space. Committed to two goalies or $10.4 million, whatever it would be.
Does Merzlikins have term or is he UFA after this year?
Term. He's got same term as Campbell. 3 more years.
Okay.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yep.
All right, let's keep moving along. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day, and it is time for our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. They are open out in Sherwood Park. Liam said his parents went, gave it glowing reviews.
Said it was good. I can't wait to go myself and see this pool.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I'm excited to see. Mm. I want to see the area where they will like dock and undock your boat for you when you bring it in for repairs. Feels like that might be kind of cool. Sleek all black exterior. Mm-hmm. It's all happening out in the heart of Sherwood Park. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine will be the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. Keys to victory for tonight. Gentlemen, I will say, turn it into a track meet. There were barely any shots on goal the last time these two teams met. It was LA playing LA style of hockey. You cannot let LA play LA style hockey night. This needs to be an Oilers game. You got last change. You're on home ice. It needs to be a track meet where you skate them into the ground.
Mine will be Connor McDavid. I think you almost need a bit of a vintage Connor McDavid night tonight.
Okay.
A goal, at least a goal from him. I think he's been good offensively from the team, but we need it everywhere. And I think he needs to lead by example towards an epic victory royale.
Jay, key to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine.
I think the Oilers are far too comfy in their Douglas mattresses and they need to wake up.
They're sleepy boys.
They're in a funk town. Wake up tonight. Mm-hmm. Games at 7.
30. Actually, no.
Show up for 7.
Games at 7.
Games at 7.
Hey, you know, you always got a buddy who's late for everything. Tell him to be times 20 minutes earlier than it is. Puck drops at 7 tonight, Oilers. Giddy up. Weird 7:30 start tonight between Edmonton and LA. Those are your keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. They're your key to victory for when you want to go out and have some fun this summer, whether you're looking for a new boat, a new side-by-side to take out to the lake. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine has you covered. The menu for our friends at DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on the first order of $15 or more. All you need to do, download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. You can even double dash it, get two spots in one order. You can add that second stop onto your DoorDash order for no extra delivery fees. It is quite the revelation on DoorDash. We have pre-gaming at 6:30 tonight with myself and Aaron. That'll be fun. Who's on post-game with you tonight?
Zachary.
We also, despite the snow, have the whole crew coming in for Real Life this afternoon. So a new episode of Real Life.
We are a resilient bunch.
What's the snow situation?
It's funny when you lift that. There's literally snow on the window ledge. Like, I couldn't quite see it until you
looked at it. There it is.
We're on the second floor of the building.
It's drifted up.
Also, our international friends are going to swing by for a tour of the office today. That's on our menu.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dukes messaged me and was like, "Do you think we can come by around 1 o'clock?" I'm like, "You absolutely could."
I was at Greta with Dukes on Friday night.
Party it up.
I had a big Friday.
Walls kind of filled me in.
Did you go to the game?
I saw you at Greta.
He had some takes.
Yeah, he said you were having a good time.
Oh, I was hanging out with some friends.
Wow,
playing games. I think he said.
Gotta play games.
High school on the football game.
I didn't play it. I only want to play with you present in the event I do get the highest.
Liam played it 40 times on Saturday night.
The highest I ever got was 540, and I was still 30 away from Tyler's high school.
And that was just my first attempt. I just walked out and Bing did it.
That's a pretty good score.
I know. But did you see the video Waz posted on me on the Instagram?
Yeah, you looked horrific. I thought, like, how did you get 540?
Didn't even know he was recording. And next thing you know, I'm on the internet.
Waz is always watching.
Let's wrap up with our Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. Don't look now, gentlemen. I've won a handful in a row.
Minus 7 units. Very nice.
I feel like you're not calculating that right.
I feel like I'm actually going to have to go through and review it.
Yeah, you might. This is also not the one for
Liam's the lead now.
For goodness sakes. I always forget yours because you never send it to me on time.
You guys are right on this, though?
Wait, we're right. I definitely made it the right one.
Anyways, Jay, what do you like tonight?
I'm keeping it simple. I went oil because they're heavily favored. So I paired it with the over 5.5. So just win the goddamn game.
See, look, I made the graphic correctly. Which one did I put in? Either way.
I'm grabbing the good one. Give me a second.
I knew it.
What are you? You're taking Drysdale?
I'm going Drysdale goal. He's actually been scoring a little bit late recently.
Okay.
Playing with McDavid plus 125.
He's pissed.
McDavid is tied for the favorite score for an Oilers goal tonight with Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman is snuck ahead of Dreisaitl's goals. I know he's
leading the team.
That would make sense.
I thought that was interesting that it was Dreisaitl that fell in the odds and not McDavid that fell in the odds.
Hmm. That is interesting. McDavid, no goals in 9 straight. Mm-hmm. I'm going Edmonton Oilers shot total over 32. So it's basically over 31.5 because it's 32 plus over on Betway. It's only minus 118, but Edmonton's been crushing this as of late. So I like that. They've hit it in all 3 games of the homestand. LA's allowed this many shots in just 2 of their last 5. So that does have me feeling a little uneasy, but I think it's one of 2 things tonight.
One team will get their way tonight.
I think either Edmonton plays bad early again and it's like crap and they start funneling pucks towards the front of the net because that's what they've done the last 3 games. That's why they've hit this. They've been terrible in the first in shots on goal and then they pour it on in the final 40. Or option 2, Edmonton actually shows up for once and just put up like 15 points in the first or 15 shots 15 in the first quarter.
50 shot performance tonight.
I don't know if they'll get that high, but I think they can get to the mid 30s once again. So I'm going with the shot total here as I look to continue to slowly climb my way back into this. Look out.
So no Mikey Anderson for LA tonight.
No Mikey Anderson.
That's actually cool.
And Arvidsson, that guy gets hurt all the time.
Yeah. He just came back and then is out of the lineup again. So
that blue line. Did we go through the lines yet?
No, the Oilers' lines.
The Kings' lines.
No, we usually don't actually go through the other team's lines. We save that for pre-gaming.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it's my first time on the show, so I didn't realize.
Do you want them?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? Yeah, we got 2 minutes here.
Blue line's nothing special. The Oilers should be able to expose that. It's Gavrikov, Doughty, Jacobs something.
Moverer.
Matt Roy.
Yep.
Unless he's from Quebec, and it's Matt Wah.
It's Roy.
And then it's Andreas Englund and Brent Clark. Like, they should be able to take advantage.
And you get last change. That's the big part of this is like you can pick apart this kind of matchup, which is maybe why the Oilers are okay loading up their top line.
And we said on Saturday on the pregame show that like the Flames blue line is legit. Like that's a good blue line to go up against. It's actually kind of close to Edmonton's. They got Tanev, right? So this one, the Oilers should be able to expose them.
So again, Arvidsson and Roy are both considered day-to-day right now, so we'll see if either of them find a way to get in. The forward line's Alexis Laferriere with Anze Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. Deneau with Fiala and Moore. That line kills the Edmonton Oilers. Fiala particularly.
Fiala's peace on us.
And Kempe is an Oiler killer too, but...
The LA Kings, how did they acquire Trevor Moore?
In the Jack Campbell trade.
Jack Campbell, 1-for-1. Maybe we could do it again.
Wasn't quite one for one. Kyle Clifford went, Kyle Clifford was in that deal too, and a pick went.
Wasn't that a different deal?
No, I think it was the same deal.
Take a peek, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
What was the full deal?
Actually, it was a third round pick, which was Alexi
Laferriere.
And a conditional third, which turned out to be Cameron Wynot for Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford.
There you go. Dubois, Byfield, Kaliev, and then Lazat, Trevor Lewis, who scored last game against the Oilers, and Jarrett Anderson, Dolan. So there you go. Kings lineup for tonight as Edmonton looks to bounce back into the win column on home ice. Pre-gaming at 6:30, new Real Life this afternoon as well. That'll be a wrap on a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. Big shout out to Dan Greenspan from NHL.com for swinging by and giving us the Kings perspective here, as well as Douglas Mattress, Sports Closet for the Sports Closet Studio, Charm Diamond Centers for the YouTube chat as well. You guys were buzzing. Didn't get to a lot of your comments, but that's because there was a lot to get through today in an hour of
the show. We had to get through all the McDavid hate.
And that too. That too. All right. That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow at noon Mountain Time.
Thank you for watching Oilers Nation every day. Hit the subscribe button to never miss a show. And for more, visit OilersNation.com.